And welcome back. Today's guest is Julie DeLuca Collins. She is the founder and CEO of Go Confidently Services and the host of the popular Casa de Confidence podcast. As a business and life strategist coach, Julie helps women business owners launch or grow their businesses, get clients, be productive, and achieve their dreams. Julie helps her clients create simple habits to achieve goals and change lives. Julie is also the best-selling author of the newly released book, Confident You, Simple Habits to Live the Life You've Imagined. So thank you so much, Julie, for coming on. I am so glad to have you, and congratulations on your new book.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It is, you know, I feel like I gave birth to a child, even though I've never had children. That book came out, and I would be a terrible mom because every time I hear, oh, and the author, I'm like, oh, they're talking about me. It's like, wait, that's me.
Wait, I wrote something.
And and then of course it all starts coming back, you know, the late nights, the early mornings, the editing process, which was, oh, highly recommend that experience to everyone. You know, talk about beating you down, because just when you think, I'm like, oh, that was a really good paragraph and I love that, someone else comes in and it's like, yeah, you got to change that whole thing.
How many times do you feel like you did that?
You know, I worked with a great editor. And then, of course, I had a book launch team, and my husband, hashtag handsome hot husband Dan, was someone that helped me do a lot of the editing as well. And I think that it was very helpful to have him help me. One, because he knows me well. And I would write stuff, and you know, and I love writing, and people have said, oh, you're a good writer, but really maybe they don't mean it and they lied to you all along. And but so he would, like, my editor would come back, is like, this doesn't make sense. Like, what are you trying to say? And I'm like, what do you mean? This is so clear. And then Dan would like, yeah, no, but I know what you mean. And then he's like, this is, and we would talk it out, or he's like, what about saying this? And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So that was really helpful. But we went back and forth, and some chapters we edited a lot. Some were, you know, minor edits and just, but again, you know, as with anything, and, you know, one of the things my publisher said to me is like, even when you release, it's like, you're going to get your copy of the book. It's going to be so exciting. You're going to be so thrilled. And then all of a sudden you're going to open it, and it's going to be a mistake, and you're going to be like, crap. And it happens. And then you're just like, make a note to the next one. And listen, in the people in my book launch team, I had people that read it, and these are phenomenal individuals that I trust and really admire. And after I saw certain things, and of course there's typos here and there, and, you know, well, what can you do? You're not perfect. We're just working at it.
Yes, I agree. But I mean, even writing a book is huge, because a lot of people are like, I'm going to write a book. And then like 10 years, a decade goes by, which to each their own, you can wait the 10 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I love that you stepped into it, especially, you know, I feel like you're embracing a lot, which is what we're talking about today, yeah, too, of just how much you've accomplished.
Thank you. You're kind.
Seriously, you're doing it. And I always like to give a snippet into how we've met. And we, of course, met on Clubhouse. You got to love Clubhouse and my Clubhouse stories. But also as a fellow podcaster, someone who is a mental health advocate, Julie has supported me in so many different ways. And she continues to support a lot of women and help people create better habits, which, yeah, as like being a certified Tiny Habits, is it considered coach?
Yep. Tiny Habits Coach.
Tiny Habits Coach. I have to tell you, when I started even looking at the Tiny Habits, it started helping me. This was almost a year ago when I interviewed Sarah, and I was just like, when she was talking about motivation, I was like, oh, maybe her. I should stop beating myself up about motivation.
Yeah, you know, we create these stories. And whether it be in our personal life or in business or in our careers, we create these stories that tell us I suck. Like, I'm awful. And fill in the blank, right? Each of us have our little tapes that we play for ourselves. And for as long as we play these negative tapes, change cannot happen. Change happens when we feel good. And motivation doesn't happen every day. So we can't rely on that motivation to make us change. We have to rely on automating the habits. And the best automation we can do is by starting small.
Yes, you're already dropping gems. I love it. Well, I wanted to have Julie on because she made a lot of shifts. And I feel like with 2020, I really wanted you to share your story of what was life for you before 2020 compared to where it is now?
So I'm gonna keep the story concise, which I've been told I'm not very good at, but I will try. So to give you a glimpse, 2020 hit, and I had just come back from doing a speaking engagement at a national education conference in Atlanta. I was speaking in social emotional learning and how to implement these types of techniques in the classroom for educators, parents, etc. And I worked for an educational company, although I live in Connecticut. I would travel around the country, and the company was based in New York City. I've been with the company for a long time, and I've been in the education industry for over 20 years. My role with the organization was Chief Innovation Officer. So I oversaw all of the programming, the contracting and developing of contracts and programming that we did for school districts nationwide. When COVID hit, and we went into lockdown in New York City, schools closed down. Immediately, my brain went into like, oh, okay, we need to pivot. What do we need to do? And I started to like outreach and create some relationships like, okay, who can we collaborate? What can we do different? How can we serve parents? What resource can we bring into schools? Trying to obviously change our model or work to continue to stay in business. And I'll never forget, it was a Tuesday, March 21st. And I was getting off the phone, you know, and I'm in my office here in Connecticut. And one of my colleagues, who was the chief operating officer of the company, calls me. And it's after 5. And typically, you know, he's very good about that home life balance. And I'm like, oh, what's going on with him? So I pick up and he's like, I've been let go. And my mouth just like fell to the floor. And I remember sitting on the couch in my office and thinking, what? Wait a minute. So I'm trying to like piece together what's going on. And he's like, well, you know, the company's hit very hard. Our CEO called and he said that, you know, there's no way that the company can stay afloat and keep me in on board. And I, you know, they're giving me a severance package. What do you think? Let's talk it through. He's like, because we've worked together for many years, he and I, and we really respect each other. And he's sort of like my work husband, right? And he said he's 60 something. So obviously for him, you know, changing and all of a sudden having a job and not having a job. So as we're talking and all of a sudden I was like, So I sent a message in our internal messaging chat to the CEO and I said, Alan just called. Am I next? And I don't even know if I expected to get an answer. And I think that to some extent, I thought, I'm going to get a no. Of course not. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden my phone rings and it's him. And I thought, Alan, I got to go. I'm next. And it was a moment in which, you know, here's someone who I again, dearly love and respect, our CEO. He was making a very difficult call. And it was, I think, one of the first times that he was really put in this position because he was a CEO, new in this position less than a year. I remember as he is saying, you know, we have to separate. We cannot afford to keep executives and keep the day-to-day operations. And we had already let go a lot of other staff. So I knew financially, like I knew the numbers as well. So it was the right decision to make. I mean, it was crazy to not have done it earlier. But for me, the difficult part of it is that the founder of the company that I worked for was my friend. she had passed away. And one of the promises that I had made prior to her passing is that I was going to continue to support the organization and continue to help the organization move on after she was gone. So at the time of being let go, I was also re-experiencing the grief of losing her, because this was the last part of her. I talk about her in my book. She is one of the chapters, but that initial shock all of a sudden sent me into an automation, which happens. And the last time this happened too is when I went through a divorce before, when I knew I needed to leave the marriage. It was like, okay, great, gotta go. I need to do this, 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 and that. And that's exactly what happened here. I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do next? Okay, I can talk to this person, I can network, I can reach out to this company. And then I'm like, nope, I'm going to start my own business. I knew that I wanted to do this. I had already gotten a couple coaching certifications and I thought, well, why not? I can do it. And I know exactly what to do to launch a business. I know how to grow a business. I've grown other businesses to multi-million dollars, and it began, and I never looked back. Now, it hasn't been like, oh my God, so great, I'm so perfect and wonderful, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm swimming in roses. It's been a struggle. And I've had some major failures. And for someone who is a very competitive type A person, failure is tough, because you want to be already at the finish line and you want to be winning. And when you don't, you tend to like, oh, wait a minute, what am I doing wrong? Like, I was good before, what happened now? So that's been part of the struggle, but also part of the winning solution. Because from knowing that, yes, I know what to do, but really I needed to reshift, because now I'm not doing it for a company, I'm doing it for me. Number two, if I fail at something, reminding myself like, okay, what would I do before if something didn't work? In the corporate world, I would reevaluate. I would figure out what went wrong, figure out how I can do better, and go do it again. You just don't throw in the towel. So that's been part of what the process and what's been going on. And the first 6 months of my business, I was floundering, like, I don't know, maybe I'm going to help these type of people, or maybe I'll do this, or maybe I'll do that, because I have a lot of different things that I love, that I'm passionate about, but I needed to really refine. And I needed to really figure out what the intersection between my strengths and what I'm passionate about is. Because when those two merge, then all of a sudden, that middle ground is like, this is what I do. I help women. I am a business and life coach. I'm not just a life coach. I am not just a business coach. I am someone that's going to help you, because if you're trying to launch a business or grow a business, and there's three specific areas of business, you know, life happens. So we have to deal with the minutiae that's going on in order for you to do the simple habits and the things every day that are going to help you grow your business. So that's where I am.
Well, wow. First of all, especially in the midst of a pandemic, I mean, you seem like you've gotten yourself out of a lot of positions like that. Like, you call it automation. Like, you literally call it automation, which is right, because you're sitting there and you're strategizing, like, my next steps, what am I going to do? This is, and it's almost like you're closing what was, you know? Yeah. So especially going through your grieving process too. And I'm glad that you wrote about your friend in the book as well, because I didn't
know. Yeah, it was very, very liberating to be able to do that. And you know, the other thing too is that I think that for so many of us, we believe that we have to have the answers before we act. And that's the one thing that for me, I remind myself, like, I will figure it out. And I use a concept, and, you know, we've heard about it so many times on Clubhouse here and there, but it's a concept that has served me very well. And I learned this from my mentor, my coach, Corinne Crabtree. And it's the concept of the future self. Who do I want to be, right? Did I want to be someone that found herself, you know, turning 50 in a couple months and depressed because she'd lost her job and she was in the middle of a global pandemic? Or did she want to be someone that figured it out and all of a sudden was going to figure out how to thrive in the process?
So what were some things that made you thrive through the process that you were up against?
So one of the biggest things that I would say has helped me thrive, and I know that part of, you know, the community that I've had, the support of friends. But my husband, I don't think I would have been able to do any of this if it wasn't for someone that said, you can do it, or that has, you know, said, okay, well, this is what you're, you know, like my podcast. I've always said I'm going to start a podcast. Maybe 15 years I've been talking about it. And when he saw that I was in the middle of like, okay, I'm going to launch my own business. And he's like, okay, great. Here's some podcasting equipment. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. I don't know. And where I don't have the skill set or patience or inclination, I have someone that's been supportive. And you know, we think that we're alone. And I think that if you don't have a husband, if you don't have that support system, maybe you need to really find the community, the girlfriend, the, you know, person across the hallway in your job that maybe understands Excel more than you do, because we do have it. We just have to remind ourselves that there's people there. But that's been part of my success, is having someone that has helped me. And when my husband doesn't have the skill set, I find a coach, I find a mentor, because they are out there. They just need to be tapped into.
Yeah. And that was something too, I didn't really know about the coaching business. I obviously watch like Real Housewives and they're like, oh, my life coach,
yeah,
and stuff like that. But for me, it seemed like unattainable, and I didn't understand fully that there was multiple coaches and different kinds. And, you know, it's been probably, it'll be a year on the 24th that I even stepped into the world of learning about coaches. And I knew that even personally, I wanted one. At that point, it was more like, I just want a life coach. I didn't realize how much mindset that I actually needed, which I talk about on the podcast, right. But I have also shared that it has helped me so, so much. Oh. Even outside of, you know, I support talk therapy 100%, but I have to say that I was able to elevate even more and kind of step outside of myself when I was going through my process with my coach. And that's why, if you don't have a support system, I love that you are giving tips, because there is communities out there. There are coaches that will support you. And sometimes, well, I would say about 80% of the time, people could see more in me because I was sitting there blocking everything with negative Nancy upstairs being like, no, you can't do this or you can't do that. So yeah. Sometimes you just need that, like, kind of like someone poking on the shoulder, like, no, you can do it. And Dan is that guy. Like, everyone who's listening, like, I feel like I know Dan too, just from Clubhouse and being in happy hour with him, but he shows up. I remember him putting together marketing for you.
He's built my website. I mean, like, he, anything that you have in my business that is tech in the back of the house, it's him. Like, honestly, like, I'm the kind of girl who, like, okay, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to hire someone. He's the kind of guy who's like, oh, that needs to get done here. Let me build it for you. So it's great. And again, you don't have to have a Dan, but you can have the friend, the coach, the support system, the bestie that is in business that maybe has been doing it for a while that can mentor you. And that's very important to find. But yeah, it's certainly fortunate to have that support system.
So true. And I always rant rave about Dan. I'm like, well, thank you. You guys are the cutest couple. I love seeing your photos on Instagram. Aww.
We're not perfect. And I don't want to say, you know, like, oh my God, look at how great our marriage is. No, because you know what? I trip over his shoes that he leaves. And sometimes the underwear doesn't land where it should. And you got to remind them, you know, to do the thing like dishwashing, you know, and I'm sure, like, I am not, a bundle of joy as well. So I know that I'm very difficult at times.
I want to say, so obviously I love Dan. And we're giving people other options to find, you know, your community, automate, you know, your thinking when you are up against, you know, a change, a transition, maybe a bad thing that's happening, like the automation steps. I love that you put that in as well. What is one tip you would give to someone who's just starting?
So here's the thing with the automation. If you're not used to doing the automation, The first tip that I'm going to, regardless of whatever it is, right? Whether it be building your business or changing your career, whatever it is, take a minute and stop and bring awareness. And I think that we live in a world in which, again, everything becomes part of the white noise of life. It's just in the background. Like we get up and we go to the bathroom and then we come back, we start getting dressed, and we're not really paying attention. And when something big happens or when we're building a business, all these things are coming and we're like, oh, how do I do this? And I need to do that. And oh my God, look at Susie doing that. And Pammy is, you know, making a killing doing that. And I should be doing that. And then you're just like, oh, what do I do? And then you're like trying to automate and trying to just automate your actions, which it's fine. But I want you to think before you do anything else, stop. Look around you. What is it that you want to do? What is it that's the most important thing to do? Because in the automation, you can fall into the trap of just doing it for the sake of doing it, but not because it's moving you forward, not because it's the right thing for you to be doing as well. You know, I work with a lot of women that when they're starting a business, they're like, oh my gosh, I'm starting a business. I'm so excited. And you're like, oh, great. Congratulations. They're like, yeah, you know, I spent all last week working on my business. And I'm like, great. What did you do? Did you put up a plan together? What, who are you serving? Who's your client? They're like, oh no, I was working on my logo. And you know what? I was there. I was that girl. The first couple of weeks of my business, I'm like, Dan, make me a logo, a cool logo. I want these colors. And that's not a business. A logo doesn't get you clients. A logo doesn't get you paid. And when you get paid because you're getting paid for something that you do, then that's what builds your confidence. You're like, oh, I can do that, right? But just having a pretty logo with the right script is not going to necessarily, yes, it's going to, you know, feel good for a little bit, but that's not going to tell people that you're the right person to solve their problems.
That is such a good one. That is such a good one. I was someone who hired someone to do a logo thinking, again, it was my business, yeah. Although it was my podcast, but it was nothing that I wanted. And then I think I spent like 20 days after that working on the one that I have now. So
yeah, and there's nothing wrong with having a logo, because you know there is that importance of having your personal brand. You have to be able to communicate your essence, your values, what people get when they get you, right? And I think that yes, your visual branding can do that, but the logo, the website, all of these things, although needed, important in levels, the most important thing is really defining what is it that you have to offer and going back to that intersection. What is your strength? What do you offer? And who do you do that for? And what problem you're solving? Because people are going to then give you money when you have the solution to something that's a pain in the butt for them. Maybe it's giving them the pleasure that they're missing. So either one.
I didn't think about it that way. I'm like, yeah, this iPhone that I'm staring at right now, you know, so yeah, people make me pay for it.
Right. People buy or spend money in something that either relieves pain or gives pleasure. And it's very important to identify as someone who is in business, what is it of the two that you do? And if you can do both, but mostly relieve a pain point, then that's really key. And being able to communicate that. And once you figure out, like, this is what I do, this is who I do that for, then how do you communicate that? And what do you offer, which is very important.
So true. So true. Oh my goodness. I just sit there and think about those 20 days. Like, where were you back in 2018?
But here it is. It doesn't like, and I did it, you did it, right? Mm-hmm. But we're better for it, right? Because that's something we learn from the process. So now we know better, right? Now we do better. And really we have the opportunity to say, okay, so fine, I did that. What did I learn? Where can I go from here? And how do I want to show up in a year from now? Where do I want to be with my business? In a year from now, where do I want to be with my podcast? In a year from now, where do I want to be with the relationships that I have in my life? And what is it going to take? What are the actions that I have to do that are going to take for me to get there?
I think everyone who is listening should be writing those questions down and answering them and letting us know what your results are, because that is, it's so true. I think there's so many different elements when it comes to having a business and to even think how 2020, how many like millions of businesses actually really came to happen, which you wouldn't think because we were all kind of, I call it frozen in time per se, but
that's a good
people
one.
Were moving and grooving. And I love that you took that initiative and that you automated. Like that to me, I'll never look at it anything different. I'll just say automation.
It's an automate. And again, it comes from having people who have breathed belief into me. It didn't happen from me all of a sudden, like saying, oh, I'm the, you know, the best. Sure. Listen, I tell myself I'm the best. I work at it. But there's days that I wake up and I'm like, oh my God, how do I? And this is where you have to remind yourself, okay, what can I do? And what are those things, you know, that I know that I can do?
That is true. So when is this next book coming out and what do you have going on next?
So, you know, very interesting. I have a friend, his name is Seth Santoro, Seth Elliott Santoro, and he's a book author. He's written a couple books. In the time that I wrote one book, he wrote three. But Seth has a children's book. And he's like, you should write a children's book. And it's funny because originally, during the pandemic, that's what I wanted to do. My niece and I actually started writing a book together. Because as a former teacher, when all of this was going on, I really wanted her to process a lot of it. And as we were talking on Zoom, that's one of the things that I would ask her questions to try to help her process. And she would draw and I would like write it down. I'm like, oh, this could be a book. But a lot of books have been written already about the pandemic. But I thought, you know what? I really want to write a children's book. And I think that that's one of the things in the big scheme of things, probably within the next year, what I'm going to start to focus on. The biggest thing, though, that I am focusing on is I'm restructuring a little bit of how I'm doing my coaching program. People can work with me in one-to-one coaching, but I don't let just anyone do one-to-one coaching. You have to commit for a period of time, but also you have to know me because I'm going to be your best cheerleader. I'm going to be your best coach. I am also going to hold your feet to the fire because that's what you hired me for. And you're going to get the results for your business and your life that you want. So you have to be able to know that. But my group coaching, what I'm really excited about is that we really are defining those three areas, right? Of faces of business. You're either in phase one when you need to figure out what your logo, your branding, your colors, your offers, who do you serve, all of that. Maybe you need an LLC. And that's the first part of my group coaching. And then when you finish and you're in that beginning stage and you're getting ready to go from development to operations, now, okay, we're going to automate. Again, here's that word. We're going to automate processes. You're going to consistently bring income. So I'm breaking up my group coaching into three phases. And people can sign up depending on where they are in their business. Maybe someone has been in business for a long time, but they haven't been bringing in consistent income. Then they would come into like second phase or the operations phase of group coaching. And then the third phase is maybe you've been in business for a long time. You've been making money consistently. You're great. But now you want to go into like, oh, I want to explore that. I'm going to help you create the partnerships or the processes to get there. So that's something that's new, how I'm structuring the group coaching. And again, I'm going to continue to do some of my free workshops because I think that, you know, not everybody's in a position to be able to make an investment into coaching because it is an investment of time and money. But ultimately, I feel that if I have something to share, I want to be able to share it, right? You're just going to have to implement it on your own until you can get to either work with me or work with some of the phenomenal coaches that are out there.
Yeah. And you're constantly giving too. Where can they follow you on your Instagram or any social media that you want to point them to? Because I'm on Instagram. That's where I live most of the time.
Me too. Although I've been checking out the neighborhood over in TikTok these days. People can follow me on all of the socials, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook is Julie DeLuca Collins. Facebook in particular, I do have a Facebook group. It is called Confident You. And I don't talk mainly business there, but I talk about life. You know, I talk about some of the things that live there are my Peaceful You 21-day meditation challenge, where I teach you how to meditate. I bring in different people from time to time to talk, experts to talk about, you know, the things that they know how to do. I've had some financial planners come in. I've had people that are women of faith who are sharing a little bit about their journey. So it's a great community, and I continue to build that. So people can follow me in all the socials.
Yes, and I'm a part of it too. So you can see me over there. Well, everyone, first of all, thank you, Julie, for coming on today and making this happen, because I know that we should be looking out for an episode on your podcast as well.
That's right. And I have to tell you that Dan was editing some of these episodes, and he's like, "Is this Crystal that I know?" I'm like, "Yes, it's Crystal that you know."
He remembers me.
Yeah. And then, your episode is coming up. You know what? I don't have my content calendar in front of me because, you know, that's the tech part. But I'm going to put it in. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to release that episode because it was a great conversation. Very heartfelt. And guys, if you are listening to Crystal's podcast, please make sure you share it, because this girl, every time I speak to her or hear her speak, she is just bringing a lot of content value and bringing you a lot of really fun guests. I enjoy her podcast. So make sure that you share it.
Thank you so much. I swear to you, I see you every day from my inbox to I'm following you everywhere pretty much. So
that's how I feel.
I'm your new fan. But thank you so much for coming on. Please tell Dan hello. And everyone,
I will.
Please go follow, like, subscribe, and then head over to Crystal Ball. You're going to share, per Julie.
Yes, you're going to share and review her. Please. Come on, people. Yes. What's wrong with people who don't review the podcast they love? And what's not to love here?
Yes, leave a 5-star review. Give us some feedback and write down those questions and DM us if you have filled those out. In the meantime, go like, subscribe, push the buttons, and do the things. And I will see you next week with a brand new episode and a brand new guest. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you, Crystal. Don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Yes.